Hey, this is Don Mazzelli.
And this is Drew Domkus.
From the Don and Drew Show.
Check out shadowfalls.podshow.com.
It's so spooky you might pee your pants.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast. We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
Hi, I'm Amy Matheny. This is a bonus show from WindyCityQueercast.com, and lucky you for listening. Jodie Watley's not looking for a new love, but many television viewers have been watching her get a new bod on Bravo's reality show Workout each week. After her early R&B days with Shalimar, Jodie Watley exploded onto the music scene as a strong solo artist with hits like Still a Thrill, Everything, and Looking for a New Love. Andrew Davis, managing editor of Windy City Times, chatted with Jodie about her new CD, The Music Biz, and her recent radio controversy during her visit to the Gay Games.
My first question is about this new album, The Makeover.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to, first of all, I want to congratulate you on it.
Thank you.
Secondly, I want you to tell me certain details about, like, when it's going to drop, how you came to the concept behind the album, and who your collaborators are.
Okay. It comes out Tuesday, August 8th, and it is full of, I was thinking about it last night because I was saying, you know, I got to find a way to, you know, because I can be long-winded sometimes, but it is basically, musically, it reflects where I am now, and it is danceable, but with soul and passion, and it's also so romantic in a new way. So there's ambient cuts and there's new material that reflects also as a writer where I am, and I've covered some of my favorite songs, and in the packaging for the makeover for people who still buy CDs, one of the cool things, though, and even if you buy because it'll be at iTunes also, and
okay,
the digital booklet is 12 pages, and you get, you know, great music, but you also get some glam, and you also get each song. I do a description of why I did that particular song.
Oh, okay.
And so it's very personal, and I even there's Journey to the Makeover, which talks about, you know, just the whole concept of the record. And again, it's because so many people, obviously, when you make an impact as an artist, as I did, you know, when I first came out, and throughout the years, I've always tried to stay out of the boxes that people, you know, sometimes try to put me in.
And I applaud you for that.
Thank you. And so, you know, so that road, that journey is, you know, it's not always an easy one, but for me, it's the most rewarding one, and the people who really get what I'm doing, they so appreciate that I am an artist that really just, you know, I just try to put out quality work and not pander to anything that is un-Jodie. And that's what the makeover is. It's Jodie Watley now, 2006, better than ever.
All right now. Now, I have to tell you, when I first heard that you were doing a makeover of the song Borderline, I was a little skittish, because you and I both know there's some artists who don't do makeovers so well.
Right. And, you know, perhaps I was naive, but, I mean, I think 90% of fans of Madonna that have heard Borderline love it. They, the creative input that I put into it that I didn't try to do a carbon copy of it. It's a whole different take. And again, it's done with love and emotion, and you can't be mad at that. And, you know, the dance pop version will always stand on its own, and this is just another interpretation of it. And, you know, I'm a fan of Madonna, so I would never do anything where she say, oh, my God, no, Miss Jody did not that. But I think that she would appreciate it. And, again, if you just kind of take the preconceived notion away from it,
mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's a love song. You know, it really takes you closer into the lyrics and the melody. And Reggie Lucas, who wrote it, it's also a nod to him, too. He wrote some terrific songs for Phyllis Hyman and
Steph. Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I think at the time when Madonna chose to work with him, she respected his work as a songwriter as well. And so it's also an opportunity, again, with each of these songs to talk about, you know, there's, you know, sometimes there's more to a song than just the song itself, also. But, you know, I know some feathers were ruffled, and I'm like, oh my God.
No, I have to tell you.
Love, everybody.
I have to tell you, I heard it the very first time I heard it. I'm like, oh my God, and I'm serious when I say this, and I'm not kissing up to you or anything. I am dead serious. This is a stroke of genius.
Thank you.
I mean, I just loved the take on, because I thought it was going to be a carbon copy. Mm-hmm. And then after I listened to it, I'm like, no, it's not going to be a carbon copy. It's Jody Watley we're talking about. She doesn't do that.
Exactly.
And I'm hearing the song everywhere now. I saw the second season premiere of Noah's Ark already, and they play it there during the very pivotal scene.
Right. Yeah, I know. I'm so happy about that. I'm really happy that that came together. And Patrick Ian Polk contacted me about it, and, you know, I know the show, and, you know, thought it would be fantastic. And so I'm very, you know, excited that Borderline will get to be, you know, on Noah's Ark. And again, it's a new exposure for the song. And, you know, a lot of people will hear it and may not know it, and then the people that know it, it's just, you know, I think it's awesome.
Well, I think it's a very unique way of bridging, like you said, bridging different, almost generations.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling old the other day. I was telling someone about Hall and Oates, and he's like, he's like, who?
You should say that. I saw them on Nickelodeon. I was at TV Land the other night.
Uh-huh.
But no, you know, the thing, music is, one thing for sure is that, you know, great songs and melodies will be timeless forever. And that's why, I mean, the whole hip-hop genre, you know, is kept abreast by the taking of classic grooves and putting a new spin on them. And mm-hmm. often, mm-hmm. you know, it makes people curious to go hear the original because they may not know it. So, you know, you know, I think that's one of the good things about music.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So do you feel that any song can be remade or covered, or do you think there are just some songs that should be left alone?
There are some songs that should be left alone.
Like what?
Okay, for instance, in working on the makeover, there's a couple of my own songs that I, you know, gave makeovers to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one song, and when I do it live, there's some songs that, you know, will always be as they were originally. And there's some of them that just always scream out as time goes on to, you know, to flip it around, break it down, do something different with it. And of my songs, for instance, Real Love, there's nothing else I could ever do to that song. And that song has been covered by a couple of dance artists, in Europe, and their interpretations were kind of more straightforward, almost carbon copies. They didn't really, you know, try to do anything to it. There's some Stevie Wonder songs that no one could ever sing but him.
Oh, I'm with you there. yeah.
And even, you know, speaking of Madonna, there's some songs that, you know, I can't, you know, right off the top of, I mean, like a virgin.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
I don't know. I can't really see, unless it was, and then saying that it could be a rock band that could do it and make you think like, you know, damn, I never thought of it like that. So it depends. It depends. It's like listening to Jessica Simpson, her song is like Holiday.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it made me think that, for instance, like fans of mine that, or even probably, you know, other artists that have had signature sounds, or fans that could never get past that, like they always want you to do that over and over and over and over again.
Right.
And it just made me think, wow, you know, what if I was making records and they still sounded just like this? Like, and I see some artists that do that. They don't really change it up too much. It's like a safe, you know, a safe road, because they don't want to throw people off too much. But, you know, I've been throwing people off with consistency, and I love it.
But they keep getting back on.
Yes.
Well, I want to switch gears briefly and talk about the Gay Games. I saw you perform at the opening ceremony. Very nice job.
It was fantastic. I have to tell you, it was one of the highlights of my career, being there and singing that song and being from Chicago. It really meant a lot to me. And when I recorded the song, It All Begins With You, which was on my Affairs of the Heart CD, that I've co-written pretty much all of my songs. That one I didn't write, but when I heard it, I was touched by it. It reminded me of my father, who passed away many years ago. My father was a minister, actually. And it was kind of a spiritual feel to it. And so anyway, to be at the Gay Games, and I gave them a choice. When they asked me to do it, I submitted several songs for them to choose from, depending upon what the theme of the opening ceremony would be. Because it wasn't going to be about, you know, come out and do your new song. You know, it was with a specific meaning. And when they picked that song, it was just really ironic to me, because it was kind of with my father in mind, you know. And, you know, when he passed away, he still lived in Chicago. So it was just kind of, it just being there had so many, it had a lot of emotion for me.
Yes. It sounds like it was truly special for you.
It was.
Wow. Wow. When did you first realize you had a large gay fan base? Because you do.
from the beginning. From the beginning. Before the internet, when you know, people were still writing fan letters. From that, from my shows, from, you know, going around on promotional tours. From, you know, I live in Los Angeles. I'm always in West Hollywood, which is, you know, heavily gay populated area. You know, I have friends that are gay. It's just, you know, it's just always been, and I appreciate it, and have never shied away from, you know, acknowledging my gay fan base, or letting other people know that I do acknowledge my fan base, and I love that, and, you know, it's very important, you know. Ask Barbara Streisand. She has, you know, it's a very loyal audience, and I think every artist, you know, should be glad, you know, if they do have gay fans, because they are amongst the most loyal.
And we do like our glam, strong women.
Yes. Yay.
Now, I want to talk briefly about this whole V103 thing, because I did write about it. It came out in this week's issue of Windy City Times.
Uh-huh.
And the way I understand it, they pretty much contend that they asked you to not speak about the gay games because you only had a small window of time to talk. But you responded, from what I understand, that you're pretty savvy. You've been in the game long enough to compress a lot of information into a small amount of time.
Absolutely. If you tell me, okay, Ms. Watley, we're glad to have you, but we're only going to give you 30 seconds because, you know, we got to get blah, blah, blah. This is what I would say. I'm in Chicago. I'm so happy to be here. I'll be at Soldiers Field performing at the Gay Games tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow I'll be at the Virgin Megastore signing copies of my forthcoming release, The Makeover, which is released August 8th. I love you all. Thank you.
Yep.
I don't need much
time.
You know, I can say everything I need to say in 20 seconds. So, you know, like I said in my, you know, rebuttal to what they said,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I stand by it. And the thing of it is that after I left the studio, it just really hit me even more what just happened. And, of course, you know, I totally expected that they would try to clean it up. I mean, they do acknowledge that they told me to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
They say because of time constraints, but like I said, if they told me I had 20 seconds and that's all they could give me, it was never presented as a time issue, because then I would have said everything in that it was as soon as we walked in, and I was with, you know, the person that works with me, it was very much, just so you know, you cannot, it was very specific. It wasn't just so you know we're short on time, so let's make this quick.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so you know, you can't discuss the gay games specifically. And what I hope comes out of it really is like we're doing now, and like people are talking about it,
mm-hmm.
because it needs to, I mean, you know, people should know, and it doesn't have to end up being a negative thing. I think V103 or any station, black station, pop station, whatever country, whatever it is, it's like I'm sure they should embrace all of their listeners no matter what.
Exactly.
And that's, so that's what it should be about. And in this era and in this life, and you know, if I'm an advocate for anything, it's just for human rights and acceptance, and because I mean, you know, otherwise you just have a cycle of ignorance and hate and violence and all of that. And Chicago was so fantastic with embracing the gay games.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I was surprised when I got to Chicago because, you know, I was honored to be asked to be a part of it, but I had no idea at the same time that, I mean, because I had just done last month, in June, actually,
mm-hmm.
was Fashion Cares. MAC Cosmetics had a huge event in Toronto.
Okay.
And it was a pretty big event, but it wasn't like you went around the city and you saw billboards on bus stops and, you know. I thought it would be kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
People knew about it, but it wasn't on the front page. This was on the front page of everything. This was on every bus stop that I, you know, when I was walking around looking to get some coffee,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, this is like everywhere. When I turned on the news, they were talking about the guy to the gay game, so it wasn't a secret.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It wasn't a secret, and that's what, I think that's also, you know, was very surprising to us. And, you know, it was just, like I said, in out of that, with me letting people know that it happened, perhaps the next artist that comes to that station, it won't be a taboo thing. And with black people, you know, I don't know. It's a cultural thing probably too, because, you know, there's still a lot of homophobia, unfortunately, and it's like one of those things that, well, you just don't talk about it, but right. We should talk about it.
Right. I mean, as a black person myself, yeah, I...
So you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can definitely agree. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, our culture is known for being a bit more conservative.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, like I said, I just hope that the station learns something. Because, again, you know, it's under a corporate umbrella, and I was at their sister station the day before, and we talked about it, you know. And so, you know, again, it must have been specifically, you know, I could draw my own conclusions from it, because they're owned by the same corporation. And it was okay for one station, but not okay for the other, which it has a primarily black, you know, listenership. So, so it stood out, you know, when I shared. And again, you know, maybe I'm naive, because when I met Keith Boykin at the, we were in the green room, and we were just talking about it, and I just kind of said, yeah, you know, it's been so great, and then I just, you know, mentioned about what had happened at the station, and he was very surprised, and he said, you know, can we talk about it? And I'm like, sure, you know. And again, I could have been like, nah, I don't want to, you know, rock that boat, but I just feel very much that, I mean, there are a lot of experiences that artists have that, you know, the average fan of music or people don't really know sometimes the things that go on. And I maybe I'm sensitive to it too, because, I mean, with some of the stuff that gets, and I wrote about, because I wrote a blog about it on my MySpace page. It's like with the stuff that gets so oversaturated, and a lot of it not positive, was something that was positive, you know, what's going on? You know, what is it? What is the you know, what is that about?
Yeah.
You know? So that's all. I'm like, my blood pressure is going up.
Okay, okay. Let's get your blood pressure back down.
But I guess about love, people, come on. It's like 2006, you know. It just, these issues, it's like things can never be dealt with if they're not dealt with, you know, in a positive way.
Well, like I say, the gay community has definitely come a long way, at least in this country, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true, and that's why even I happened to see the guy that has the site, Perez Hilton, and he was talking about him outing Lance Bass, and, well, you know, it's 2006, and it won't hurt his career. And I'm like, well, really, maybe not, but it's not, number one, not for you to say, and number two, having just experienced what I experienced, it's like he's very naive, because there are still some people that will look for a reason to take you off the airwaves, or, you know, to try to silence your voice, or to have a problem with that. And it just shows, it's like, no, not everybody is ready for it, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of outing anyway.
Oh, it's like I was so, oh, please. It's like, well, who made you the the watcher?
Exactly. Who died and made you boss?
Yeah.
Well, I do want to talk about a different subject, because when I saw this, I couldn't believe it. But you're being featured on Workout, the show Workout?
I am on Workout, yeah.
Tell me about that.
I got involved because my trainer was doing the show. He was asked to do it because he worked with Jackie, and the show is primarily, you know, it's Jackie, and she owns the gym, Sky Gym, here in Los Angeles. and it follows some of her clients and the other trainers, the six trainers. And I've been working out with Doug off and on for about almost 10 years.
Okay.
And it was just one of those, I guess, synergy type things where I'm like, are you kidding? I said, yeah, I love the Bravo Network. I do watch, you know, some of their shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, a good portion of my fan base probably watches, you know, some of the shows on the network. So I thought it would be good, and it was nothing, you know, nothing really over the top or anything. It's just, you know, us, you know, going, and I say throughout the parts where they film me that I'm getting ready for the makeover. And so at the end, the last episode will culminate in, I did a special performance. And
oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's about working out, you know, and I was saying, you know, I don't want to lose my womanly curves. I don't want to be as tight to, I just, and when I'm not, you know, promoting a record, I'm not one of these people that really, you know, changes physically. I pretty much try to stay in shape within, you know, give or take 10 pounds.
I saw you on the screen, of course, at the opening ceremony. I'm like, wow, she still looks good.
Yeah, no, I try to, you know, I try to keep it together so I can look at me.
Because you know what they say, if you can't look at yourself, what makes you think anyone else would want to look
right.
at you?
Right.
So... okay, you've been involved in music for a couple of years. I'll just say a couple of years.
Two.
What? Yeah, two, exactly.
Two.
What's the biggest change that you've witnessed in the music industry?
Oh, well, there's, you know, a lot, really. I think the biggest... the two that I don't like would be in the 90s when record companies started merging and have continued to merge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you may have Universal, which now, you know, consumes a lot, you know, BMG. So there's no true... you know, it just really changed things in a way that, you know, it's probably harder to get things done. Radio stations, too, once they deregulated ownership. And so now it's like if one corporation owns 2,000 stations,
mm-hmm.
if one station says, well, her song or his song doesn't fit our playlist,
mm-hmm.
then it's pretty much, it sucks for you. Because then that means you can't get on any of them, which, you know, before that, you know, you could be played in the South in those stations, or
mm-hmm.
one station in New York that, you know, blew it up and then everybody caught onto it. It's really virtually impossible for that to happen, and I think that sucks. But the good thing is that the internet and digital media is changing the game, and I love that. Being an entrepreneur always myself, I love the opportunities and the freedom that brings, you know. And I started Avatone in 96, inspired by Prince when he left Warner Brothers and put out The Most Beautiful Girl, and that's when he started doing all the MPG stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought, you know, that's it. That's, you know, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that in that way is very good. I found, you know, and if you really love music, you're not going to be dictated to by what you hear on the radio anyway, because everybody gets sick of the same 10 songs all the time. So it forces people, if you really love music, to go and seek it out. You know, I listen to NPR. You know, there's all sorts of other, you know, internet radio.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered some good music on MySpace, actually. In fact, one of the guys who did a remix on, it's the last record, it's the last song on The Makeover. He's from Greece. I've never met him in person. I met him through, you know, submissions online.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that never would have happened. I've been trying to get in touch with Raphael Sadiq for years through management and was always, you know, getting some sort of roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
I finally met him. I met him, you know, again via, you know, digital media. So, you know, I love that. I love where it's going.
And Raphael is such a smooth cat, too.
He'll be on my next project. I was trying to do something with him for The Makeover, but we couldn't, schedules kept, you know, clashing, it's good, you know,
mm-hmm.
it takes some of the barrier out of it and the BS. It's like it's more work,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I've never been afraid of work. Work or working it.
And that's what we love about you. But you already knew that.
Thank you.
My last question for you, it's a very general one, but I've gotten so many different answers for it, I just feel it warrants asking. To you, what is the essence of good music?
Oh, gosh, the essence of good music would have to be passion behind it, good lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it could be, it's like when I wrote Looking for a New Love, it's like that was real. I was really, you know, feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty, maybe, that's it. It's like honesty, because if you come in from an honest point of view, instead of trying to be contrived to try to make yourself whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's not lasting. It's like when Marvin Gaye made What's Going On, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want that. It, which blew my mind after I learned that. I'm like, wow, but, you know, that record will stand forever. And, you know, Marvin Gaye was a genius for sticking to what he felt.
Yes.
It's like, you know, so I think it's honesty,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever that is. It's like doing it for real.
And you can sense it when you sing, too. And someone else who's listening can sense the sincerity.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, I've watched American Idol and stuff like that, and sometimes it's like, or even some singers, it's like, technically, yeah, wow, singing their ass off, but I don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, they don't feel it. It's like, I can do this, and so what? But there's no honesty there. It's like from the heart. And I think that's it. Whether it's jazz, dance, blues, electronic, it's like, it's got to be honest. I think that's what it's all about.
You mentioned American Idol. You know what? I bet someone is going to sing your version of Borderline during an audition.
God bless them.
I see it happening. I'm serious. I see it happening.
Oh,
you won't know what to do with yourself when you see that.
Well, you know, when I sing it live, they say, in fact, there's a clip on YouTube
mm-hmm.
that someone told me to check out, and it was from San Francisco Pride. And it's funny, because you can hear the people singing.
Yeah.
And they're just singing away, and I think it's beautiful, you know, because, you know, that's good.
And I want to tell you, I love the video, too. It's just
Thank you.
It's very low-key.
Yeah.
But it's you and all you singing, and it just fits the song. So.
Thank you. And that's, again, that's just, you know, what I wanted to bring forth. And I do think that it reflects the song. And, you know, most videos, is a lot going on, and it's difficult to, you know, focus in. And sometimes maybe that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, I wanted it to be just challenge you to just pay attention to what I'm saying. And, you know, and an emotion was real in the video, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that people that have seen it, they get that, too.
Well, Jody Watley, you are an absolute delight. You really are. You really are. And I cannot wait for Tuesday to roll around so I can carry myself over the virgin.
Thanks for listening to this bonus show of WindyCityQueercast.com. We appreciate Andrew Davis joining us as a contributor. He is also the Windy City Times managing editor. Now be sure to subscribe so you don't miss 1 minute of the GLBT goodness, as my co-host Peter Maverick would call it, or the badness, as I might say. Our next show, Peter and I are back with Wayne Besson from Truth Wins Out. We're talking about ex-gays and conversion therapy. I'm Amy Matheny. Thanks for listening to this bonus show on Windy City Queercast. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Get this podcast and more great ones like it on the High Performance Podcast Delivery Network from Podshow and Limelight Networks.